Committee on Rules for Redistricting and Public Affairs, and I will open a public hearing on House Bill 3709. Representative Merkley, please. And a friend. Good afternoon, Representative.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I'll be very brief on this bill. This issue is related to the use of Social Security numbers, and in particular, the disclosure of those numbers in a way that can lead to risk for public servants. I've brought this bill at the request of the City of Portland, and I'll be delighted to have these experts assembled here at the table and give you the details.
Good afternoon, Committee. Mr. Chair, Mark Landauer with the City of Portland's Office of Government Relations. As Representative Merkley had mentioned, this bill was introduced at the request of the City of Portland. The reason we asked Representative Merkley to introduce this bill is on an annual basis, the city receives approximately 50 requests of public information requests for employees' Social Security numbers. As the legislature in the past has recognized the concerns of identity theft, we have shared those similar concerns. I wanted to mention one thing briefly. I've asked Deputy City Attorney Frank Hudson to go into more detail about this matter. However, I happened to take a look at the Attorney General's Public Records Manual recently, and one of the questions contained in that manual is whether a public body should redact an individual's Social Security number from records that otherwise are not exempt from disclosure. The bottom line answer contained in the Attorney General's booklet basically states public bodies should not disclose any Social Security numbers without advice from their legal counsel. The intent of this bill is to make it very clear that those Social Security numbers should not be released. According to the Attorney General's booklet, the answer, frankly, is hedged by the Attorney General's office. Frank Hudson will be happy to expand on this issue, and I thank you for hearing the bill.
Good afternoon, Chairman Wilson, other members of the committee. My name is Frank Hudson, Deputy City Attorney for the City of Portland, here today to talk about HB 3709. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to participate in this legislative matter. Let me first say that although I'm admittedly an attorney, I'm in that minority of attorneys that tries to practice the art of being brief. So
<Thank you. laughs>
having said that, besides my written testimony is much more concise and coherent than I could ever say it in words, but let me try to touch on a few areas of concern. As Mr. Landauer mentioned, Social Security numbers are the unique personal identifying information that public employers have on their employees. Everybody has one. And these days, with all the problems we're hearing about with identity theft, you hear a different horror story every other week. It's clear that those numbers should be confidential. And things have changed over the years with the advent of the ready availability of an internet connection and computers so that an identity theft artist armed with a Social Security number and a computer and an internet connection could plug in that name and that Social Security number and really wreak havoc on somebody's financial well-being and credit history. So I think it's pretty clear that the numbers are important and should be confidential. Let me just briefly touch or sketch for you what the legal landscape is currently regarding the status of public employee Social Security numbers under the current Oregon Public Records Law. There was a case that was decided specifically regarding public employee Social Security numbers in 1986. That was the AFSCME versus Albany case. And in that case, the Court of Appeals specifically said that neither the Federal Privacy Act nor the Federal Social Security Act exempts public employee Social Security numbers from public disclosures. That was in 86. Now, that's been the only case that's been decided dealing specifically with employee Social Security numbers. Now, there is a subsequent case, the Jordan case, which dealt with the personal privacy exemption. And we who work in this field defending public records requests, if we have to lean on that case to say that the numbers are exempt under the personal privacy exemption. Now, I've argued cases before the Court of Appeals on public records issues, and you might be surprised to hear that they've ruled against me a few times. And I'm trying to poke fun at myself to illustrate the fact that where we are is that we don't really know. I mean, on the one hand, somebody requesting Social Security numbers would say, there's the AFSCME case, they said they're not exempt. And on the other hand, I would have to say, well, under Jordan, under the personal privacy exemption, although it doesn't deal specifically with Social Security numbers, I think it would fit within that exemption. So you can decide who would have the better argument. But in short, you know, it's a muddle right now. And having said that, I just think it would be important if we could get some clarity on that question before the issue actually is pressed and we have to litigate the issue. And I'd be happy to answer any questions if you have any.
Thank you. Do we have questions? Representative Doyle.
Mr. Ezra, I'm just, I guess, needing some clarification. You've got the AFSCME case that said specifically Social Security numbers were not exempt from disclosure.
That's right.
Your own interpretation is that doesn't apply to you folks because the personal identifier case says that
personal privacy exemption.
Okay. So you got a case right on point saying Social Security numbers are not exempt, and yet you're still saying they're exempt?
Well, I don't think the problem is that I don't think anybody in their right mind would release Social Security numbers because I'm a lawyer. I'm going to use reasonable arguments that I have to make my case that they are exempt. And I'm saying that really to illustrate the point that, as I said, you decide who has the stronger argument. I think a lot of people would say the case on point is stronger. And I'm asking for some help. You know, let's deal with this issue so I won't have to rely on a case that's really not on point to make my argument. I don't know if that answers your question or not.
It does, and I just guess I'm sorry that we brought it up on record.
Thank you. Representative March?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Hudson, specifically, currently, public employee or volunteer addresses are exempt from the public record. However, their Social Securities are not specifically exempted.
That's right.
So we're just asking to say, okay, well, you can't have their address, so you can't have their Social Security number either.
Well, I would suggest that the Social Security number is even more important. And by the way, public employee birth dates are currently specifically exempt. So that's a curious kind of thing that Social Security numbers are not, the birth dates are. Go figure.
Is that an age thing?
Beats me.
All right. Any further questions? Thank you. Representative Merkley, anything from you?
Nothing further to add.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Testimony. Thank you. Christy Munson, State of Oregon. She's gone. Anyone else to testify on that bill? All right, we'll close the public hearing on House Bill 3709. Just for the committee's sake, I am going to carry this till 3:30, and then we're going to adjourn today. So let's move to, let's move to House Bill 3707. Open a public hearing on House Bill 3707. Representative Merkley?
Mr. Chair, Representative Merkley is coming up at 3707. There's a letter at your spot from the Oregon Rental Housing Association. that they would like to enter into the record.
Thank you. Representative Merkley's on his way. And welcome again.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Jeff Merkley, representative from East Portland, and I'm pleased to be here today to testify on House Bill 3707. This bill is part of a package of bills that Speaker Simmons and I have sponsored to protect the privacy of our citizens. This privacy is under assault by a host of technologies that assist businesses to collect, collate, sort, and sell our personal information without our permission. This particular bill addresses the use of Social Security numbers. Social Security numbers, introduced to track citizen participation in the Social Security insurance system, have become a universal identifier. They play a key role in the collection and sale of our information. By providing an identifier unique to each citizen, they enable information from innumerable, disparate sources to be attributed with confidence to a particular individual. I do not see this as a social good. Indeed, I view the sale of my personal information without my explicit permission, or the sale of your personal information without your permission, as a highly inappropriate betrayal of a business relationship. Information on my activities and on your activities should not be a commodity. This bill presents an important strategy for restoring citizen control of information on such private activities. It limits the use of a Social Security number to business activities where there's a compelling need to use that number. For example, there is no compelling need for a health club to use a Social Security number as an identifier of their members. A name and address work marvelously well. If that feels too unsophisticated in this computer age, numbering customers from 1 through 1 million works just fine as well. I became a member of a center during session in an effort to work off the daily tensions and calories that accumulate so quickly in this building. When I enter the fitness center, I'm required to scan in my membership card, which enables the desk attendant to say, "Good morning, Jeff," with confidence because my name appears on the attendant's computer screen. This is somewhat artificial, but not particularly objectionable. What I do object to, however, is that the fitness center's computer is establishing a database on my habits. I do not want this information to find its way down the road to a service that is compiling my personal consumer profile for resale to the world. By banning the use of my Social Security number as a member identifier, we are breaking a link in the process that leads to this result. Moreover, eliminating the unnecessary use of such numbers reduces the risk of identity theft. As you heard in previous testimony, if someone wishes to steal your identity, normally for the purpose of utilizing your credit for purchases which you will bear responsibility for, the Social Security number is the magic key. You'll hear many objections to this bill. Most of these objections are based on the need to protect the legitimate use of Social Security numbers in serving customers. And it was not the intent of this bill to intrude on such legitimate uses. In many ways, it represents a principle which has many wrinkles in it that need to be ironed out. And I stand ready to work with the committee to develop appropriate language that identifies and protects such legitimate uses. I thank you for taking time to consider this issue. With the growth in sensors and computers and databases and the ease of transferring that information, there is a process of exploding growth in the market for selling and buying our personal information and much need for a bill of this nature. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Representative Merkley? Representative Starr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I find it equally interesting when I go to the grocery store and I've got a little card or it's on my keychain and they scan that in and they have a record of what we purchase, and they use this to kind of the hammer over us that if you don't use that, then you don't get the special discounts. And I've I've always told my wife that just don't sign your real name when you fill out that form. Sign some foreign, common name, Mary Smith or whatever, so that ultimately it doesn't tie directly back to her specifically. You wish to comment on something like that?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Starr. The example you cite doesn't necessarily connect back to the Social Security number and that you're not utilizing the Social Security number in that capacity. However, it does connect very much with the next bill that we'll be hearing, 3708, which is an opt-in bill related to making it necessary to ask for your permission before selling your information.
Representative March.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Merkley, obviously, sounds like this bill needs some work to be workable. You talk about not using a Social Security number for the purposes of identification, and yet there's obviously a lot of folks out there who have done this. How would they transition to not using that? Is there any, have you thought about any kind of transition period into which people could change over their records?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative March. Such a transition period would be an essential component. We had an example this past year that the speaker is much more familiar with than I am because he was personally involved in it, related to these Social Security numbers on hunting licenses. And while I can't give you the precise details, it's my understanding that the state is involved in the process of doing just that, converting their database based on Social Security numbers into another identifying system, not utilizing those numbers. And time is required to make that transition.
Representative Garrard.
Representative Merkley, whenever I've been asked to give my Social Security number and I've refused, I've never been refused the service because I didn't give them my Social Security number. I understand that when you're buying a home or going through a financial transaction that is required, but I couldn't think of an instance where I have refused to give that number that I haven't still received the service.
Mr. Chair and Representative, there may be cases in which you're unaware that your Social Security number is being used, and I'll give you a couple of examples. One, to go back to my club example, when I applied to the club, they ran a credit check because it's a situation where they charge me each month, and so I gave them my Social Security number. It is not transparent to the customer whether or not they're using Social Security number in their database that tracks my comings and goings from the club or not, and therefore whether that information be conveyed into a personal consumer profile. Similarly, if you apply for some sort of retail card, such as for purchasing goods at Sears, I was going to say purchasing goods at Ward's, but you'd have to do that very quickly for that to be a relevant example. Then you would supply that number for a financial consumer report, but you don't really know as a customer whether that number is being associated with the records on what you purchase. And so in working out the details of this, it's essentially trying to create an opportunity to use that in the responsible and appropriate way for which you're given permission, which is to check your credit, but not to use it in tallying personal information about your habits and setting those up to be connected with a broader database on your activities.
Thank you.
Representative Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Merkley, you have an exemption in your law for financial institutions and for a business requiring a customer to disclose a Social Security number for examination of their credit history. Have you discussed with the opponents of it the possibility of the issue of, if a business has extended, and some businesses do this in terms of providing their own credit cards, et cetera, although that's becoming kind of thing of the past, you also have to report on the credit history of the customer. If you don't keep the records by Social Security number and you're reporting on the credit history of the customer, how do you do that?
Yes, thank you, Representative Devlin and Mr. Chair. The long answer, the short answer, or the in-between?
The chair likes short.
Thank you.
Yes, I have discussed with opponents that challenge, and I've conveyed that I think that that sort of challenge can be worked out so that one can, in fact, make reports on whether or not you pay your bills to a consumer reporting agency.
Representative March.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I should have probably included this in my first one, but Representative Merkley, you talk about the selling of Social Security and private and financial information, yet this bill doesn't get at that. It only gets at if someone is harmed or there's an ascertainable loss. Do you have any intent to go after the sale of personal information like that?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative March. Absolutely. The Speaker and I have two bills related to this. Those are our two opt-in bills, one of which we will probably not hear today, although it is scheduled, and one which may be scheduled down the road.
Thank you.
With luck.
Representative Walker.
Thank you, Chair Wilson. Representative Merkley, in looking at this, it says you may not identify a customer by means of a Social Security number, and that means all business. A lot of our businesses are interstate-type businesses, or they conduct business in other states, or they are connected to either billing systems or benefit-type systems that are interstate. How would this apply if they are having to comply with this law within our state, but then outside the borders they don't, but those systems are interconnected?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Walker. I have a belief about that question, but I'm in, as we get into the nitty-gritty, I may discover that the belief is misplaced. My belief is that things that correlate between finances and the customer and the business are probably part of the essential Social Security number use. But when it starts getting assigned to databases or being used as a person identifier when it's unnecessary to do so, and I think probably the key word is unnecessary, that is where we can draw a line and ask businesses not to use that. Now, does that mean that some may use it? Let's say you have a business that operates in 10 states and uses a Social Security number that simply as a customer identifier but not in connection to consumer reporting or other financial key billing aspects, but they use it to track habits or so on and so forth. At that point, here in Oregon, they may have to sever that connection. Oregon citizens would probably be more protected than the customers in other states.
Follow up. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mm-hmm.
And what is that going to do to the business climate in the state if businesses are going to have a dual system? If they are running billing systems or benefit systems with businesses within this state, and they say, hey, we don't want to run a dual system, we just won't locate there, or we'll pull our businesses out.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Walker. The billing system and the benefit systems you speak of are probably fall very much into the legitimate uses that we will identify and elaborate on. So I don't think that those particularly at risk. But in terms of using it as an unnecessary identifier, it would put Oregon businesses out front in a trend that might well sweep the nation.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any further? Representative Merkley, thank you. And
thank you
very
much.
We'll go ahead and conclude our action on this very interesting subject material today. I'm going to continue this over to Friday. I'm going to add this to Friday's schedule for all of you here.
And Tuesday.
We'll close the public hearing on House Bill 3707 in committee with nothing further. We will adjourn.